Just for a second, Lorena. Lorena's not sharing, but we want, if you haven't met these guys, they, for years, were just central in leadership and adventure, and they've done so many things and here, and then God took you away from us, and we praise God for that, and I feel sorrow toward that, but at some level. But welcome, you guys, and let us know what's going on, and Lorena, I just want everybody to be able to see you, so you can go back. I'll go sit down, too. So, and Joel, you take us away.
Thank you. This is cool to be back for us. Adventure was kind of the home church. It is our home church. We started here at Adventure about 10 years ago, 6 months after Adventure had started. And so we consider Adventure our home church. It's our sending church. When people ask us where we're from, we say we're from Duval, Washington at Adventure. And so it is great to be back. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And so neat to see all these, so many familiar faces, but so many new faces as well. So I just kind of want to run through real quick of who we are, where we've been, what we've been doing, and kind of why we feel God sent us there. And so there we are. This is myself and my wife, Lorena, you just met. We have two children, Renee, who is 12, and Ian, who is 11. And we live in a place called Locachogio, Kenya. And I've got the clickers this time. Cool. This is kind of for those of us that are kind of geographically inept. This will kind of give you a little bit of a big picture about where we're from. A lot of people ask us, well, how close are you to that whole Ebola thing? And Ebola was kind of over in the, this is cool. All that Ebola stuff was all over here in this area. And we're way over here in Kenya. It's about 2,500 miles away. So we're really removed from that. Here's a little bit bigger picture of it. These are a lot of the areas that we fly. We're with Africa Inland Missions and AMAIR. I'll explain a little bit more about that here in just a minute. But we fly in places like Kenya, Uganda, South Sudan, Central African Republic, DR Congo, Tanzania, and Rwanda. Where we live is right here in Locachogio. Now, we're in Kenya, but we're right up on the South Sudan border. We're about 35 kilometers from South Sudan. It's pretty much the end of the road for Kenya, if you want to consider it a road. I'll show you pictures of that here in a moment. But this is 95% of the flying that I do is in South Sudan, and then over into Uganda and parts of Kenya. But that's where we live. We live in Locachogio. This is our main street. I'm just going to show you just some brief pictures, kind of where we live, what it looks like. We have one street coming into town, and it's actually the main road up to South Sudan through Kenya. Like I said, about 35 kilometers up the road is the border. And so this is one little stretch of asphalt that we have. This is our main street. This is one of our side streets. And this is pretty common. This is what you see along the side of those streets. These are small, what we call dukas. And they're small shops, and this is how a lot of these people make their income. One shop might have a couple of bags of rice or beans or flour or maize or something like that. Another shop might have some jewelry. Somebody else might have some pots and pans. And so there's kind of a little different shops around the place. And there it is. And this is another couple of the, just along the side of the streets. This is Fatime. Fatime is a Muslim lady, and we work a lot with the Muslim people. There's a lot of Muslims that have come down from South Sudan or come over from Somalia. And Fatime is actually from Somalia. She runs one of the grocery stores. And this is a picture of our grocery store here. Not quite like Safeway or QFC. This is kind of the extent of what we have in our little town. One of the things that's really messed Lorena and I up coming back is, you know, everybody asks, what's the most difficult thing? All the choices. You never realize how difficult it is to make choices until you go into a place and you've got one type of peanut butter. You know, you don't have Skippy or Jiffy. You don't have Chunky or Smooth. You don't have Super Chunk or Super Smooth. You've got like one choice and that's it. And so so that's kind of been a messed up thing for us, is trying to make all these choices. We've actually walked out of stores because we couldn't make a choice, and we have to go back later. It's like, okay, I'm just going to come out with something. I've got to make a decision. But this is our grocery store. This is our where we get our fruits and vegetables. You get basic stuff. You get your potatoes, your tomatoes, carrots, onions, green peppers. You get watermelon, pineapples, or apples, oranges. A lot of it's pretty basic. It comes up on a road by about 3 to 4 days in some really hot temperatures, some really rough roads. So sometimes some of it's beat up, but being part of an aviation organization, we're really blessed to have fantastic people down in Nairobi that periodically send really good stuff up to us. And so a lot of our meats and specialty things come up on the airplanes from Nairobi. This is our house. We are in the middle of the desert, and it's hot. And we see temperatures of during the hot season of about 115 degrees. During the cooler season, it's usually about 90 to 100. And so this is the house we're at. And we were very fortunate, very blessed that AIM did a fantastic job of preparing that house before we moved in and really made it a beautiful home for us. We are blessed to have air conditioning when we have city power, which is not very often. But we do have solar power, and on that solar power, we can run fans, normal lights, refrigeration, and stuff like that. It's just the front of the house. Like I said, it is a desert, and so you just try and get any type of desert plants or whatever to grow the best you can. There it is. This is Locachogio Airport. This is where I spend a lot of my time. Locachogio, about 10 years ago, during the main civil war of South Sudan, was a huge hub for a lot of the relief work that was going on in South Sudan. So in Locachogio here, we had the UN, we had the World Food Program, we had the Red Cross, all these different organizations. But when the war ended and South Sudan became its own independent country, all those organizations moved up to Juba and pretty much left South Sudan a ghost town. Or sorry, not South Sudan, Locachogio, a ghost town. And so it went from having a ramp packed full of airplanes to now there's literally, we're the only, one of the only operators on that airfield right now. But it's a perfect location for what we do. And I'll explain that here a little bit more. But this is our airport there. Why am I going the wrong way? Is that me? All right. Hang on. There we go. This is we operate two airplanes up there, a Cessna Caravan that carries about 14 people, and it's a turbine, runs on jet fuel. And then the other smaller one at the end of the line there is a Cessna 206 that carries 5 passengers and runs on avgas. And we use both these airplanes because they're small enough and they're rugged enough to get into the small areas that we go into. We serve up there with one other family, and actually, as of this last week, a third family has arrived, and they're going to be setting up a house there. And so when we get back, there will be 3 of us up there, and we're all pilot mechanics, and we have our kids. This is Jerry and Brianna, and they have 4 children. And then Fred is also there. He helps us. He's one of the local guys. Why are we here? The technical about why we're here is I'm a pilot mechanic. And I've been trained as an aircraft mechanic to be able to work on all the airplanes that we operate. We are out in the middle of nowhere. And so if an airplane breaks or if something happens, we need to be able to fix that, and we need to be able to legally sign it off and be able to get back on flying schedule. So I'm a mechanic, but I'm also a pilot. Africa Inland Missions was started about 118 years ago to serve East Africa, actually all of Africa, but a big majority of it is in East Africa. And a lot of the places that we serve are way out there. And there's no roads, or the roads that are there are extremely rough. During the rainy seasons, they're usually flooded and full of mud, hard to get to. Along a lot of those roads, there's a lot of bandits. There's a lot of people. It's a very impoverished country. And so there's a lot of people looking for opportunity, and there's people that are stopped along those roads and harmed. And we've had missionaries harmed along those roads. And so the best way to get the missionaries and the pastors and the people that are serving in Africa into these remote areas is with airplanes. And we provide transportation for those missionaries. We provide transportation for the African pastors. One of the things that we do is we'll go up into different parts of Kenya or South Sudan, and we'll pick up 9, 10 pastors, young pastors from these different villages, and we'll bring them out And we'll take them to either Locachogio or down to Nairobi, where they can spend 9 or 10 weeks doing seminary classes. And then we'll put them back into those villages, back into their home villages, so that they can preach the gospel in those areas. We bring in supplies. There's a lot of missionaries planting churches, doing discipleship making. And we bring supplies. We bring medical supplies for the hospitals, the missionary hospitals. We bring building supplies so that they can build their houses. We bring in short-term teams. We have a lot of churches that send up missionaries or short-term teams that might be there for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And so we're the transportation to get those in there. We're also the contingency plan for a lot of our missionaries, in that South Sudan's in a war right now, and there's a lot of fighting going on. There's a lot of people being killed, and there's a lot of our missionaries that are in danger periodically. And so we're a phone call away, a satellite phone call away, to hurry up, go up, pull those missionaries out. And we had to do that just before we left. We pulled a group of our missionaries out of a town. 6 hours later, it was completely flattened. But that's the environment that these missionaries are called to. That's where God's called these people, to serve Him. And in all the darkness, there's an amazing, amazing movement for the kingdom in Africa. It's really cool to see. And so this is just a couple of the small things that we do. This is a young couple. They're up in a place called Hurry Hills. And they work with a very nomadic group that moves around. But it's in the area. They've got about 10,000 people. And we call them UPGs, Unreached People Groups. And you think, if AIM's been in Africa for 118 years and other mission organizations have been there longer than we have, how can there be any unreached people groups? Well, if you take a look at Africa as a whole, and you look at how vast it is and how hard it is to get to a lot of these places, and then you look at the war that's going on and the displacement of all these people, they're going to places where nobody else is, but it's creating huge pockets of people. And there's over 200 unreached people groups in South Sudan alone. An unreached people group is any population, tribal or language population, where less than 1% of that population has ever heard the gospel. And there's still, to this day, over 200 in South Sudan alone. That's not including Kenya or any of these other countries that we serve. So there's a huge, huge need. And the best way to get to these people are through missionaries like this, willing to serve out in the bush and to support them with aviation. So that's what I do. Lorena has a heart for women, has a heart for prayer, has a heart for just healing. And taking just all the stuff that we learned here at Adventure and putting that to practice and spending time praying with women and talking to women and showing them freedom from darkness through healing. And it's a cool, cool ministry. And so she gets an opportunity. She has tons of people that God brings her. And she gets an opportunity to share and spend time with them. One of those groups is this group right here. It's the Honor Group. Prior to us being there, there was another missionary family that came to Locachogio, and they started a bunch of these small businesses for these women. One of the problems that we see going on in our area, the Turkana area, is men will have large families, 4, 5, 6 kids, and then they'll just up and leave. And they'll go start another family in another town down the road. And it leaves these women with all these kids and no way to support them. So this organization came in, and they started a number of different businesses. We've got a bakery where we get fresh bread delivered to the door every day. It's really cool. It comes nicely. These little nice little loaves are nice and warm. I can never tell if they're hot because it's just hot outside or if they just came in from the oven. But you get those delivered from the bakery. There's a cafe. There's a jewelry shop. And this is actually at the jewelry shop. And this is a group of the ladies there. And they make jewelry and sell jewelry to help make a living. We actually have a little bit of that in the back. And if you're interested, all those proceeds go back to these women to help support their families. And so we set that up back there if you're interested. But this is what Lorena does. She has an opportunity to share with these women. She also homeschools our children. Being out where we're at, we don't have the opportunity to have our kids in school. We don't want to put them in a boarding school. We want to keep them at home. And so Lorena has a full-time job homeschooling our children. Some of you know what that's like. And she does a fantastic job at it. So that's kind of the technical about who we are, why we're there. But a little bit more about why did God send us to Africa? About 8 years ago, I felt God asking me a question. He was asking me, why are you so afraid to talk to me? And my answer was, I'm afraid of what you're going to do. I'm afraid you're going to send me to Africa. It's actually what I wrote in my journal. It was right here in Duval. It was at a men's retreat. And I wrote in that journal my heart's honest truth. I'm afraid you're going to ask me to go to Africa. I'm afraid you're going to ask me to give up all my stuff. We had just built a brand new house up at the top of the hill. Beautiful house. We loved it. We had great jobs. We had cars. We had vacations. We had all this stuff. And I was afraid that if I started listening to God, that still small voice Randy was talking about, I was going to have to give up all my fun and my freedom and everything I had worked so hard for. And over the next couple of years, God started to work in my life. And he started to answer a lot of questions and reveal a lot of fears that I had. See, Satan uses fears and he uses lies in our hearts to keep us from being who God designed us to be. Randy talks a lot about design and identity and who we are in Christ and the role that we have here on earth to play to advance the kingdom. But Satan comes in with these lies and he tells us, you're not qualified to do that. Or you don't want to do that. You're going to have to give up this. Or nobody's going to listen to you. Or they're going to make fun of you. Or whatever the lie might be. And so we take these lies and we listen to them. And it keeps us from being who God intended us to be. Thankfully, through the help of a lot of fantastic people and opening up my heart to hear what God had to say and learning to hear from God and God coming in and answering those questions in my heart, we hit a point in our lives where we're able to just let go and say, okay, God, I'll go where you want us to go. And it has been the most rewarding thing I've ever experienced in my life. It's been the most freeing thing to get past all those lies, to get past all these fears, and to actually live a life that I was designed to live. It's hard to explain. It's hard also to pack 2 years of incredible experience of seeing God working into 20 minutes. But I do want to share one quick story here. This is one of my favorite stories. This is an opportunity I had. It was about a week-long trip, and I was able to fly this trip. We had two Kenyan pastors. We had this a missionary, a 28-year missionary who had been in Africa for 28 years, and we had the CEO of an organization from the U.S. here. And that organization designs this product called the Treasure. There's a picture of it sitting in a sandal right there. It's a solar-powered device. It's about the size of a smartphone. On one side has a solar panel. You flip it over. On the other side has audio buttons so you can listen to audio. It's an audio device. And it carries about 80 hours of the New Testament and Bible stories in all sorts of different languages. I think they're up to about 200 languages right now. And so the cool thing about this is most of these people don't have power. They don't have a way to charge these things, but they're self-charging. They set them out in the sun. Like this case, they set it out in a sandal, and it charges all day. And then they've got about four to five hours of listening time of the Word of God in their language. You can hand a lot of these people a Bible. They can't read it. They're mostly illiterate. Most of the people that we work with cannot read a Bible. But they can hear, and they can listen to the Word of God. And so we did this trip. We landed in a place called Kor. We jumped into this this Land Rover and headed out into the desert. And we were out in the middle of nowhere, and there was this big old acacia tree. And there's this group of ladies underneath this tree. There was no structures around. It was just this acacia tree, this group of ladies. We pulled up, walked up to them, and just started talking to them. And this sandal was sitting there, and it was charging. And the group of women, it was a literacy class. And they were sitting there learning how to read the Bible side by side with an audio device. And it was that same translation for them, so they were able to go back and forth between the two. Literacy in these areas is Very empowering for these women. Most women can't read. And so to be able to give them the opportunity to learn to read and learn to read the Bible is huge. But they do it through this vice. And we got some great testimonials from them. What we were looking for was a year earlier, they had gone and they had delivered a bunch of these devices all over these areas. And they wanted to go back and they wanted to hear these stories of how they were using these devices. We left that and we went to a little village and we sat inside this little hut, a very traditional hut. There was a young lady, her daughter, and her mother. The hut's about 10 feet across, kind of smoky inside. And we listened to testimonials from this young lady. One of the most solid testimonies I've ever heard in my life, biblically sound, because they didn't know anything but the true word of God. It was untainted. And it was amazing to hear how during the day they would do their chores and get all their stuff done, but as soon as the sun goes down, there's no lights around. As soon as the sun goes down, four, five, six families would huddle around the outside and listen to the Word of God for 3 to 4 hours, some 5 hours a night. That hit me hard. That hit me hard. I asked my question, when was the last time I sat and read the Word of God for 4 to 5 hours, let alone every single night? And that's what these people do. They sit around and they listen to this, and they're being fed in their language, in their tongue, the Word of God and the truth. It's amazing. We went from there, we went right up to the Somali border. We met with about 40, it was 30 to 40 pastors in this compound, in a police compound. We were in a little building in the middle of this police compound because we're surrounded by Muslims. And they didn't want to know, they didn't want the outside world to know that they were a part of preaching Christianity. And we were able to pass out these devices in all sorts of different languages. And the number one request that we got there was that the device be shipped with earbuds so that the women could wear earbuds underneath their head coverings and listen to the treasure. They're starving. They're starving for the truth. They're starving for lightness in the darkness. And it was so cool to see and hear the testimonies of how these devices being spread all over. We covered thousands of miles in that 6-day trip. We would have never been able to do it by road. It would have taken some of the places we would never have gotten to. But the rest of it that we could get to a road would have taken well over a month. And so to be able to do that with an airplane and to be able to be a part of spreading God's word and the gospel through this little tiny device was huge. It was a lot of fun. And it was very impactful for me. And because listening to the testimonies of these people and how bold they are about the Word of God, I was highly convicted. I was highly convicted. In Acts 4, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking boldly about the Word of God. I'll tell you what, these people speak boldly. And it was neat to see. And I came back from that, and I had a different perspective. But I also look at where I came from. And I think back of the lies, and I think back of the fears that I had. What was keeping me from speaking boldly about the Word of God? And I just thank God to this day that He was able to shed all of that stuff off. And He was able to pinpoint lies that I'd been listening to. He was able to speak into fears of, I do have what it takes. You have trained me to be who You designed me to be. I've just been not hearing Your voice. But learning to hear His voice and having Him speak into me has been, like I said, the most freeing thing I've ever experienced. Make a challenge. What fears do you have in your lives right now that are maybe keeping you from being who God designed you to be? And it's not, I'm not saying, you know, pack your stuff, sell your house, go to Africa. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody's like, I ain't going to Africa. Everybody knows who George W. Bush is, right? George W. Bush, he was in, I got to tell this, okay? I saw this article the other day. He was in an airport. And he was looking at this guy standing there, and this guy's flowing white gown and this long white beard, and he's looking at him. And Mr. Bush finally says, "Aren't you Moses?" And the guy just kind of looks away a little bit, and Mr. Bush gets a little bit closer, and he's like, "Aren't you Moses?" The guy finally just kind of turns around. Finally, Mr. Bush just gets in his face. He's like, "Aren't you Moses?" He's like, "Yes, I am." He's like, "Well, why are you ignoring me?" "Well, because last time I talked to a bush, God sent me to the desert for 40 years. It's not going to happen. God's not going to send you to the desert for 40 years. But what is he going to ask you to do? Is he maybe going to ask you to be a part of a ministry? Be a part of VBC next year. Be a part of a worship team. Get involved in your community. Talk to a neighbor. Talk to a coworker. Step into a relationship that you've been afraid to step into because of what that person might think of you. What fears are keeping you from being who God designed you to be? From experience, I can say, getting rid of those fears, getting past those lies, is the most freeing thing you can possibly do. And I am so happy to see all of you people here at Adventure, because God works through Adventure and the people here to help teach you how to do that. And so I encourage you, get involved, get plugged into Adventure, get plugged into what's going on out here. And who knows where God might lead you. Probably not Africa, but who knows. I want to thank you so much for your time, all your prayers, all your support that we've received. This is our family. We love you guys. And just thank you so much for just the incredible prayer and just who you are and what you mean to us. If you are not on our emailing list, there's in the back table back there, there's a sign-up sheet. Please put your name down. We'd love to keep in contact with you. There's an information. There's a prayer card. There's some magnets. I'll pull the magnets back out. There's magnets. Put us up on your fridge. If you think about us, pray for us. Because if God's leading you, pray for us. Might be for a good reason. We're in some tough areas. Where I fly in South Sudan, it's a war zone right now. And so if you're led to pray for the kings, please take that minute, because you don't know where we might be. So, but there's that. There's also Renee will be back there. If you're interested in some of the jewelry for the women, it's a huge help for them. But again, thank you. God bless you guys.
So Lorena, could you come back up? And can I have Milt and Linda Hansen? They are our directors for our missions ministry. Let's have all of you guys up. All right, here they come. We just have a little gift for you guys. And thank you so much, Joel, for sharing. It's powerful. I've asked Milt if he would lead us in prayer as a church body for them. But I just wanted to just mention, just because I got to watch Joel have that. I remember you coming back to the fire pit on the retreat and going, you know, I realize I don't want to talk to God because I'm afraid he's going to send me to Africa. And then 1 year later, at the same fire pit, you were like, God told me to go to Africa. And now I want to go. And so just the amazing. And then his walk with you, it wasn't over then. It was getting the next license and all the flight training and him coming through with the finances and all these steps that you watched him come through every time so faithfully. That's our God, right? When we journey off the map and follow him, it's he comes through. And so you guys are such an inspiration and an amazing, just from deer in the headlights a few years ago to this man who's directing us. Thank you so much for what you shared. And Milt, would you lead us in prayer? And I'm just going to ask our church family, would you mind standing up and just even kind of placing your hands forward just to say, Lord, my heart is with them, and I join with this prayer, okay? So Milt, why don't you pray for us?
Is this mic on?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Before I pray, I just want to say, boy, journey off the map It sounds scary, but then I said, journey off the map with Jesus isn't nearly as scary, and it's really wonderful, and it's not boring. Hearing God's voice, some of you might be hearing, oh, if I hear God's voice, he might tell me to talk to my neighbor about him or my coworker. And for some of us, that's as scary as going to Africa to talk to our neighbor about Jesus. But if he calls us, do it. I want to pray for the kings and invite each of us to do the same, not just today, but every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that you've let Adventure Church be part of this wonderful ministry that Joel has told us about, sharing you in places which are way off of my map, but it's not off of your map. And I pray for their protection. I pray for their provision for Ian and Renee and Lorena and Joel as they continue to travel around the United States and Canada, telling about your ministry through them. And also as they go back to Kenya, that you're going to just make your presence known to them and through them this whole next term of service that they're there. I thank you so much for what you've done in their lives and what you're doing in the lives of so many people, not just in Africa, but even just with this message today, how you've encouraged us and inspired us and strengthened us. Thank you so much. We love you. We trust you. And please let us share you with people all over the world. In your wonderful name, Jesus, amen.
All right, so for our next few minutes, we've been praying that the Holy Spirit would write the rest of our morning and write the sermon for the rest of our morning through what God would lay on your heart to share. And so we've got two mics, and we're going to just kind of leave it open if there's just silence. And that's awesome. You know, just we'll sit here before the Lord. And, you know, if you do come share, try to be concise so that other folks do have a chance. Let me pray and kind of launch this this time, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what we got to see today so far. Your hand in children, Lord, teaching them to follow you into danger, into risk, into all sorts of things by holding your hand off the map. And Lord, then Joel and Arena, how walking with you and hearing your voice and following you as your sheep leads to a life to the full. And then, Lord, we know that you have more to share with us today. And so thank you, Lord, for already being writing the sermon and giving us such meat. And Lord, we invite you just to come now and in the sharing time, take it, let it be yours, be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Started coming in mid-April, and I just wanted to thank Randy for obeying God's word to start this church to heal the brokenhearted, because you healed my broken heart, all of you. I've known some of you for a little while, and I'm just really excited to start growing in God's love and learning to listen, and I've got a great mentor that's helping me learn how to listen, and I'm just so very thankful. I was so happy last night, even though I was just completely exhausted. I could not sleep. Just prayed for nearly an hour, prayers of thanksgiving and praise and blessings over different people, and I'm just so happy now. And I just wanted to thank you all for the love you've shared with each other, and for being such a great family. And I feel so welcome here.
My name is Alice, and I've walked with God most of my life, but this last year and 4 months has been probably the most difficult that I've ever experienced, and most of you are aware of that. And I say that because you can love the Lord for 49 years, but not really have fullness. But the last 10 years, as I've been here at Adventure, I've really come to learn about my identity in Christ. But even though I've learned my identity and I learned my purpose, it's really easy, as difficult things happen, to forget about who I am and forget about my purpose. And so what the Lord has been teaching me over the last months is how to strengthen myself in His power and in who He is. And I've been reading a book. It's called Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. And one of the things that He has shown me is that I have to be convinced of my identity. I have to be convinced of my purpose, or that's when the enemy's going to get me. And so that's what my journey's been the last couple months. And I just want to share something that was really meaningful to me from that book. And most of us are familiar with the story of Nehemiah. And he was rebuilding the wall. The Israelites had been in captivity and for 70 years, and a lot of them had returned to different parts of their land. Some were still in the land that they were captives in, just living. And he had heard, he was a cupbearer for the king, and he'd heard that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down, and it was in disrepair, and it looked horrible. And he didn't like the idea that God's city was that way, and he wanted to go and do something about it, and he felt called to do that. But then there were people in the land that didn't want that to happen. And there were some guys that were really coming against him and what he was doing. So that's kind of where this comes in. And it says, we should all be like Nehemiah, who, when the enemies of Israel tried to get him to come out of the city and talk to them on the plain of Ono, he said, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? The truth is, we can only ignore the enemy when we are firmly convinced that we're doing a great work for God, a work that He has commissioned us to do. Our co-mission comes from our submission to His primary mission, which is on earth as it is in heaven. If we are not convinced of our purpose, then we will entertain the enemy's lies and invite his destruction in our lives. And that is where I'm at, is that I have to continually, daily go before the Lord and say, who am I? What is my identity? What is my purpose? And that's where I have strength in the Lord.
So God is a really patient father with me. And oftentimes, He teaches me in the most simple ways, in the most simple truths. And right now, I'm in a season of really having just to trust Him in a lot of areas in my life. And every day I wake up and I have to fight against the fear of feeling overwhelmed and failing and being burnt out. And this is just really simple, but it's just been carrying me. And I was having time with the Lord about a couple weeks ago, and I was just kind of walking on the beach. And He just spoke to me and said, Nick, trusting me is when you don't know where I'm taking you, but you still say yes, and you still follow me. And that's it. It's that simple. Because if God were to tell us what He was going to do and where He was taking us, it's not really trusting Him. And honestly, there's no fun in that, and there's no adventure in that. And so my life has just been really exciting lately because I'm saying yes to Him, and He is just opening door after door and doing the craziest things. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm saying yes, and it's just been really cool. So, yeah.
Hello, my name's Jeff. I've been coming here for about a year, and it's been a blessing, and I really love it. And something I've been struggling with in my life is I left another church, and I didn't leave with them on great terms, but I was a musician there. And music is my thing, and I love to play music. I mean, I can't get enough of it. And so There's a verse out there, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it talks about playing loud with a joyful noise. As my parents can attest, I mean, yeah, it gets loud at my house. And so yesterday I met with Nick, because I just really wanted to, you know, find my place. And I feel really at home here. Everyone's really welcoming. Everyone's really nice. And I talked to Nick yesterday, and I met with him, and we kind of jammed for a little bit, and, you know, about talking about, you know, maybe playing up here on the stage. And after not playing on a stage for about a year, it was kind of like a, you know, where am I going with my music? I kind of put it away for a while, and I think God gave me that gift several years ago to, you know, praise him. Not for any self-glorification, you know, to play for money or anything. I mean, yeah, that's cool, but playing for him is the ultimate reason why I'm a musician. And I want to serve him in the best way possible, and that's where I feel led. And so after talking with Nick yesterday, it was just so uplifting. I was the most happy I've ever been in my entire life. And that opportunity that I have, you know, to just go and talk to someone and say, hey, how can I get up there? I think that's the best decision I ever made. And yes, I was extremely scared to meet with Nick because he's an amazing musician. And so was everyone else up there. And that's what's been going on in my life.
Hello, my name is Karen, and I knew I had to come up here because my heart was pounding so hard. So a couple of years ago, Randy asked us to listen to the Lord and for a name that he wanted to give us, because the Lord has a name for each one of us. And I thought, I'm not going to hear anything with all these people around, but I obediently closed my eyes, and I waited, and I listened, and I heard my valiant one. And I thought, what? Me? I'm not valiant. I'm like the biggest chicken out there. And so I just kind of thought about that, and I don't know if that was the Lord or not. Well, I went home, and I looked it up on my iPhone, what valiant one meant. And it means courageously leads others into and out of enemy-held territory. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Huh. Okay. Well, what I realize, it's something that I just love seeing the Lord doing. And that is when women, mostly women, or anyone is held captive with the lies that they believe from the wounds that they've had when they were young, or things that they perceived happened to them that weren't true, or things that really did happen and they believe God wasn't there. The Lord wants me to help them safely and gently lead them into and out of enemy-held territory. And so there's a ministry that I get to be a part of that I'm just so excited to get started with. it has been, to me, I never come more alive when I get to watch the Lord speak to people and share with them how he was there for them and how he loves them and how he delights in them. And I just want to encourage all of you, too, to don't be bashful. Ask the Lord what name he has for you as well.
Good morning. So I'm so tall. So my name's Anya, and recently God's been taking me and a couple other ladies through just scripture and who he is. And God spoke to me. It was like, when you get to know someone, you learn their name. What's the first thing you like? My name is so-and-so. My name is Anya. God's like, these are my names. And so we've been going through his names. And most recently, the name was Creator God. And so I was like, wow, okay. I didn't think about that name for a while because we think of him as the ultimate creator. So I've, in studying that, I was like, there's such a vast way he's created, like, look at the universe. And he took me to the more personal creation in us and me. And I was like, okay, let's study that. He's like, I'm in your heart. You know, how God has come into our hearts and we accept him in salvation. And I was like, God, how do you fit inside of me? How does that work? How does the God of the universe, we think about it, but we physically think about it, and it seems so impossible. And during that whole week building up and those pondering scripture that talks about God in us, it was Father's Day that next week, and it was a father-son passage. And it was just in that moment, God just spoke to me right immediately. He's like, I'm in your eyelashes. I was like, what? In my eyelashes. And he's like, I'm in your bones. I'm in your DNA. I'm your father. He's like, just like the earthly father is separate, but he's also a part of us and a part of you. And I was like, wow. He's like, that's how I am in you. That's how I'm a part of you. He's like, see your skin. That's, I'm in that. I'm in your speech. I'm in what you look at. I'm in what you receive. And he's like, when people praise me, I literally inhabit the praises of my people, literally and physically. And I have never felt so close to him. It's like I've always felt like he's closer than the skin, but it's like, how does that work? And it's like, oh yeah, you're in the marrow of my bones. It's like scripture that talks about dry bones coming to life. He fills us physically. And I just want to share that with you, where he took me, and the perspective of God actually in us and moving through us, and we give to each other and speak to each other and love each other. It's really coming from him and pouring out of us from him. And so I just want to share that with you. So
hey, I'm Jaden. For those of you that were here last Open Mic Sunday, you knew that I was struggling and am currently still struggling with trusting God with my finances. I emptied my wallet into the offering box that day, right after pulling money out for a car payment. But just an update, I got laid off right after that, too. So God's been doing some interesting things in my life recently. And I've been learning more and more to trust in him. And so I got my final check from work, and I was driving down to the bank, and I was really stressing out. Like, this is the last check I'm going to have for a while. We don't know when work's going to pick up again. I have bills. And I just decided in that moment that I was going to give it to God. And so I said, God, these are my finances, and I'm giving them to you. I don't want this burden. I can't carry it, and I'm just going to trust in you that you're going to provide. And I had put my check in my center console, and I got to the bank, and I was digging around for it, and I found two envelopes. And I was looking, and I was trying to figure out which one it was, and I guess at some point I had forgotten a full check in my center console, and so I had twice as much money as I had originally expected, and it was amazing. I guess in this, it's been like 3 weeks or something crazy. But it's been a really great experience being unemployed, getting to sleep in and hang out with all of the friends that I don't usually get to hang out with during the week, and meeting with people I don't usually get to meet with. And it's been a good time to really develop a deeper relationship with God and to trust in him, on a deeper level, because he's been continually providing throughout that time of unemployment. And I don't know, I'm just happier, actually, without a job. but that's where I'm at right now, and trusting the Lord is awesome. So.
We're going to have Sarah. I see you're up here to share, and then and I'll kind of close things up just for time's sake.
Down. So I'm hoping I won't run out of moisture in my mouth and that my words will be coherent. That's what I'm praying for. So my name's Sarah. I've been here for a while. I'm sure a lot of you guys recognize me because I serve coffee. And I've been here and there over the last few years, but lately I've really been here for a good solid year, and so I've been able to really develop friendships with you guys and serve alongside you guys, and it's just been such a pleasure to do that. So I have a few things I'm going to share. I'll try to make them brief. One thing is I love how everyone's talking about trust in God, and I was talking to God about that the other day. If any of you have read the missionary biography called Brutschko, where this guy goes into South America and he's, it's an intense, crazy story. But anyway, he's ministering to these remote tribes out there, and he's trying to figure out how to describe our religious terms to them. So for faith, the thing he comes up with is they live in these longhouses and they sleep in hammocks. So he comes up with the term faith, and to put your trust in God is to tie your hammock into God. So to fully lean on and depend on God. So I was praying to God about that, and he was telling me I'm tied into him, but I'm turning my hammock more into a slack line. You know, I don't know if you guys see the slack line people, but they're going like this, and they're working so hard, and they're still tied into God. I'm still tied into God, but I'm turning it into a lot of striving, a lot of worry. Instead of just resting in my hammock, having peace and just complete rest in God. So that's one thing I wanted to share. The other thing is in my life, some of my main convictions that I want to see in my actions is to develop my faith, to strengthen it, to make it completely solid and genuine. And then another thing is I want to develop God's heart for the nations. I really love how God has a heart for all the nations. It's been so cool to hear the kings come and talk about that, and I always love those stories. I don't feel like I have that heart for people that way, but I want to. I want to have that heart. So one thing I'm doing is in a week, I won't be here next Sunday because I'm going to Asia for a month. I'm flying into Bangkok, and then I'm actually going to be part of a missions group, and we're going to be smuggling Bibles into several different countries over there. So it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it a lot, like learning, seeing what's going on and being a part of what God's doing. It's very humbling. So I just wanted to share that with you because you're my church body, you're my family. I want you to know what I'm doing. I'm still raising support. Most of all, I would love your prayers. Pray that I would, this is really a time for me of listening to God, of asking him, what does this look like in my life? Where am I headed? You know, just asking where I fit in and be a part of him and his mission in the world. Just wanted to share that with you.
Hi, my name is Luke Jones, and something about the master-servant thing that was kind of... I'm so nervous right now. My dad's watching me. So in Roman culture, the servants would, they would be taken from different countries and, you know, they would serve their masters. But then they would also, if the servant was good enough and if he served the Lord or his master, he would, if he was really good and earned his trust, the master would make the servant his son if he didn't have any, if he didn't have any other sons or daughters to take over him. And that was just awesome to figure that out. And it was just, for me, it was kind of like, you know, we're all servants of God, but then, but we can all become sons and daughters of him. Because of his amazing grace and glory, and that we give our lives to him, and just I know I'm kind of crying right now, but it's just still, I guess a little bit of my genetics, because my mom does this all the time too. But that was just something that was happening right there, and so I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Luke.
That was awesome, and I love your emotion that you just let your passion come out for Christ. So I hate to be the guy to wrap up open mic time, but we do have a really exciting celebration, too, after service. We have somebody being baptized this morning. So just real quick, baptism is really, it's a command of Christ. As you give your life to him, as you find restoration, salvation in Jesus and his sacrifice, he asks you to be baptized. And really what that is it's declaring through that picture that it creates, that burial into the water, resurrection, and then that new life that you have in him. And it really what it does is it simplifies what people have made so complex and have added so many things to, and traditions and different rabbit trails to go down. But Jesus is always bringing everyone back. No, come to me, put your faith in me, be baptized to show the world the simplicity, but yet the power of what Christ has done. Died for our sins so that we can have new life in him. And so, Bree, would you come up here and share? So she just wants to share just what God's been doing in her life and why she wants to be baptized this morning.
Hi. So I've been going to Adventure for about 3 years. A little bit about my backstory. I was raised LDS, and even when I was younger, I just didn't feel like I fit in there. I just felt like there was something more. My parents sent me to VBS and Awana and things like that, and I always felt right at home there. But it wasn't until I was about 14 when I actually stepped out in my faith and told my family that I no longer wanted to go to church with them, which was really hard. But through these past years, I've just been really searching and devoting my life to God. And yeah, that's why I'm here.
Hey, Bree, let's just get here. Let's pray for you.
So incredibly brave for Bree to come up here and just share what God's been doing in her life. And so I just want to honor that, too, that you stepped into that. And so let's just pray for her and this special day for her. So, Lord, thank you so much for your pursuit of us, each one of us. You've been after us since we were kids. And we just hear that in Bree's testimony. Lord, you just want us to find that love that brought you from heaven to earth, and the cross and the power of your resurrection and victory over it. Lord, thank you that Bree has found that and found the joy in that. And so we just pray blessing over her, and a blessing that comes with obedience. As she just obeys your command to be baptized, may she see a blessing in her life in different ways. Just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Okay, so Kim Kobayashi, you want to use this? Or you want to stand?
Wow, I feel like my heart's going to burst. I had the privilege of being the teacher for VBS, and seeing them up here made me just so proud of them all, and it was such a moving experience. And then I lead the women's ministry with an awesome team, and every single gal that came up here, my heart's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm like, this is so amazing. I love all of you, and I can't wait to just push more into the women's ministry, looking forward to our retreat and things. And so thank you for sharing to see how God is moving. And then I also do junior high ministry. So Luke, I am so proud of you. Thank you so much. Just give him a hand. He's like, yes, Luke. I don't do men's ministry yet. Don't worry. It's never going to happen. Okay. I'm actually up here to do our offering. If the bags, offering bags, will make their way to the front. This is when those of us who call Adventure home give. And I was thinking about this on the way here, that A willingness to give really comes from a heart of gratitude, which flows from contentment, confidence, and hope, which grows out of faith. And that's why Jesus tells us to have faith and not to fear. And I really thought about my own life, and the best measure of whether I'm living out of fear or living out of faith is my willingness to give. Because when I'm living in fear, I close in on myself. And I think I have to hold on to what I have because maybe God isn't going to provide it. It makes me even sometimes resentful. And so if I find myself not wanting to give, I have to check, am I living in faith? So the message over and over again this morning was how fear binds us in every area of life. So I'm going to pray. Jesus, thank you that you conquered death and you conquered fear, and they do not have victory over us. They cannot have dominion over us unless we invite it in. So in the name of Jesus, we cast it out in our hearts. Lord, I pray that each one of us can just say, I will no longer walk by fear, be bound by fear. Just like Jaden experienced when he gave out of faith and trust, you came through, even though it didn't look like it right away. Just like Daniel in the lion's den kept his eyes on you instead of the lions and saw that you rescued him and provided for him, I pray that we can keep our eyes on you, keep our faith in you, keep our faith strong, and to stomp on fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So just make sure those bags make their way to the back. And I believe we have a video announcement.
In just 2 days, the women will be gathering for a fabulous game of bunco. Join them Tuesday night in the main campus sanctuary from 6:30 to 9 for dinner and bunco. It's a picnic-themed event, so bring a picnic item to share. The famous root beer floats will be provided. And remember, no skill required, just a desire to have fun. You're not going to want to miss this awesome event. It's been great hearing what the King family has been up to in Africa. Come hear more next Sunday, July 26th, for Sandlot Sunday. Chrissy Close is another missionary from the Adventure family. She serves with the Mercy Ships and will be sharing after the service next Sunday. So join us at the Sandlot Sunday and see Chrissy. Speaking of Sandlot Sunday, check out this video.
Hi folks, it's that time again. Sam. Sandlot Sunday is right around the corner. Come join us for fellowship games and fun.
This time we'll be organizing a co-ed softball game. There will be activities for the kids, including a jumpy house.
As usual, we will have free hot dogs, and also you will get to treat yourself to a snow cone.
Remember, as much fun as Sandlot is, our mission is to reach out to other people. So take a flyer, they are portable. Give one to someone that you know, or even someone that you don't know. Give them an opportunity to experience what adventure is all about. Let them see what God is doing in our lives.
Amen!
Oh, but my underarm shakes. Don't do that one.
Let's take this time also to celebrate the return of some of our missionaries. Joel and Loretta King and family, and also Chrissy Close. Let's show them how much they are loved and appreciated.
Before we let you go, there's three quick things. Number one, before you leave, make sure to check out the Connection Center and see what all the other ministries are up to at Adventure. Number two, fill out a connection card. It's a way to communicate with us, and we want to get to know you. And third, we have an awesome prayer team ready to pray for you. If you have any prayer requests or just want to pray, come forward after service, and we'd love to pray with you. Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week.